Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump started his with another tweet today about the weekend-long violent protests in Iran, writing, "Iran is failing at every level despite the terrible deal made with them by the Obama administration. The great Iranian people have been repressed for many years. They are hungry for food and for freedom, along with human rights. The wealth of Iran is being looted." Then in all caps, "Time for change." Well, the president is referring there to the deal made by the Obama administration that lifted sanctions against Iran, unfreezing $100 billion in assets in exchange for Iran tamping down its nuclear program. Borzu Dargahi is Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed News. He's been watching from Istanbul. He joins us by Skype. And Borzu, some analysts here are saying some Iranians have benefited from the sanctions being lifted, and these protesters are coming from a more conservative part of the country that did not benefit.
First of all, I would say that this protest has nothing to do with Trump or the U.S. or U.S. policy and so on, except insofar as the removal of sanctions really raised expectations among a lot of Iranians. And as we know, raised expectations are what, you know, cause revolution. People who are oppressed and oppressed and oppressed and poor and poorer and poorer don't rise up. But when you raise their hopes and then dash those hopes, there's a lot of anger. And I think that's what's happening in Iran right now. I should give a few caveats. In 2009, I covered the uprising in Iran. I knew so many protesters. You know, I was so plugged into what was happening there. I have not spoken to a single protester in Iran. Not only have I not spoken to, I don't know anyone who has spoken to any of the protesters, and I've not read a single quote from any media that actually quotes one of the protesters, except for things they say on videos that are uploaded and sent out of the country.
Well, and what does this tell you? I mean, about who is, you know, doing the uprising and dying?
I think it's a strata of Iranian society that is forgotten, lower class and lower middle class people who are very, very much and frustrated and have been very frustrated by the economic dynamics that are, you know, unfolding in Iran. I can tell you, I live in Istanbul, and over the last 2 or 3 years, you can just see a big, huge flood of Iranian tourists coming here and spending money. So some people are definitely benefiting from the nuclear deal and from the changing economics of Iran post-sanctions. But these are the people who are not benefiting from it. These are the people who don't have decent jobs with companies that have international deals or international contracts. These are the people who don't have access to wealth, not able to travel, don't have passports. This is a lot more similar to what happened in Tunisia and Syria in 2010 and 2011, where people in the rural countryside rose up over economic frustration than to what happened in 2009 or during the uprisings in Eastern Europe during the early 90s and so on.
In the Arab Spring. Well, you also write the protesters appear unheedful of and untethered to any of Iran's political factions or, you know, civil society streams. So there's nobody to leverage them with. But they may be influenced by something called the Mujahideen Khalq, MKO. Tell us who they are and what that tells you.
The Mujahideen Khalq organization is a very controversial group. It was formerly listed as a terrorist organization by the U.S. I consider them a cult-like Marxist Islamist organization, very bizarre a group of people who somehow seem to have gotten access to Western money, and especially certain U.S. officials, people like Rudy Giuliani. They seem to have hired on as lobbyists and so on their behalf. And you know, they're a very toxic organization to most Iranians. They consider them like basically untouchable because they sided with Saddam Hussein during the Iran-Iraq war against the Iranian people. Now, I don't think these protesters are part of the MKO, but the danger is that untethered to any of the legitimate political factions, the government could really crack down on them and no one will care.
Well, will no one care? I mean, after the 2009 uprising, there were questions about whether or not the United States should have used that moment to help the people in overthrow that government. Now we have President Trump egging the protesters on through Twitter. Do you think the United States will try to seize on this moment somehow?
I don't think that it could. I mean, what could it do? This is an Iranian story. Iranians have been fighting for democracy for 112 years. This goes way back. Mm-hmm. And this is a fight between, you know, autocrats and Democrats that, you know, goes back to the Persian poets who've written about the kind of evils of tyranny and ways to fight back against tyranny. So this is a long saga, and I don't think that, you know, what one Western government or another does is going to really matter much.
Borzu Dargahi, Middle East correspondent for BuzzFeed, speaking to us from Istanbul. Borzu, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.